Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSH Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSH Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of men, women, and children affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSH Society Radio. Welcome, one and all, to the FSH Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here, joining me on another episode of FSH Society Radio. The show is for all of you out there that have FSHD, or maybe have a family member, friend, maybe you're a caregiver out there. This show is for you, and happy you can be here sharing a little bit of your time with me and our featured guest tonight. Very excited to have our featured guest is Taylor Quigg is going to be on, and I hope I pronounced her last name right. If not, she will correct me. I'm confident of this, and I'm looking forward to talking with her. She has an amazing FSH Society story, and I guess FSH Society story, because she has got involved with the FSH Society, and her story is unique because she was, well, I guess I don't want to totally spoil it, but it was just unique, and I want her to share that with us, and I believe that there's some of us that are coming from that place that she has when she shares her story. I think a lot of people are going to say, holy cow, I feel that way. Or there's some common things there for me. I understand what she's talking about, what she's going through. Well, let's get you all in tune, though, how you want to reach out to me if you need to here. Live in the show, you can do that. You can call in if you'd like. That's 949-270-5953. If you'd like, you can also use the chat room. We have two people in there right now, guest 686, so you can be anonymous if you'd like. And Roberto is also in the chat room, so welcome. You can all go in there if you want the chat room. You can chime in with certain comments if you'd like, or if you have questions for the featured guest tonight. I can try to type back once in a while, but you know, I'm kind of a one-man show back here, which is what makes it fun and exciting for me, manning the chat room, talking with our guests, working with you guys a little bit out there if you have questions for me or for our guests, which I mentioned is going to be Taylor Quigg, and she's going to talk to us about her FSH Society story and what she's doing now and being an advocate, and her story was featured on FSH Society's website. So we'll talk about all those things and probably a lot of other stuff with her, and looking forward to that. You also follow the FSH Society, too. Let's not forget that, at FSH Society on Twitter. On Facebook, you know, Facebook.com/FSH Society. Become part of those groups along with so many other FSH support groups that are out there on Facebook. I hope you're finding them out there, because there is quite a few, and they offer a lot of great things, a lot of support. Similar to this, you know, I'm only coming around once a month. I guess if you want more of the show, you can definitely ask for that. And if you want to just chat with me, you can do that as well. During the show, the email address, I suppose, and after, is fshradiohost@gmail.com. That's fshradiohost@gmail.com. You can go ahead and send me any emails you'd like, because we're also still rooted into the StoryCorps, the call to your stories, call for your stories. I've already gotten a couple, only a couple, though, so I know we got some shy people out there. That's fine. And let me offer you this. If you don't want to have your voice recorded, which was the original plan, right? We can do that. I can talk with you, ask you some basic questions, get it recorded, hence the StoryCorps project. And it's about your FSH story. It's about you, the expert, right, of yourself as you, and talk about yourself and your FSH story. But if you don't want that to be, maybe you are a little shy. That's okay. You can email me your story if you'd like, and I can narrate it upon your request using your words. And we're gonna do some great sound with those stories. We want to kind of start building that right now. And you want to reach out to me, you can do that. Share the story. The FSH, like I said, fshradiohost@gmail.com. You can email me. And, yes, you can even text me And maybe, or if you want to set up a time to call, you can do that too. I'm going to give you my personal number right now. That's 414-659-3392. That's right, I did it. I trust all you great people not to abuse that privilege of having my own cell phone. Because I've had some great messages, text messages come. Patty, you know, if you're listening out there, if you got done with work, you and I have chatted a little bit already. You know, Taylor is another person we have on as a featured guest today. We talked months ago about her story between each other and then had her come on today. So there's a lot of great things that can happen if we just communicate and talk a little bit. The radio shows for that as a community, a support group. But if you want to get in touch just with me, I'm here. I have this disease as well. I know where you're coming from, and I have still a voice to use and the ability to get myself into my own home studio down here in my basement of my home to broadcast this. And I want to use those abilities I have to spread this mission, I guess, of the FSH Society to get us all connected and that we can help raise money and raise awareness and also be there for each other. And that's really what this is all about on a big scale. Let's also now welcome Jenna. She's in the chat room. So welcome. Welcome, guys. Thanks for chiming in, coming into the chat room. Happy you're here. Hope I'm coming in loud and clear. If I'm not, you can do that too. You can say, hey, man, turn up your mic. I don't know. Chat with me. Let me know what's going on in your neck of the woods, maybe even where you're from. Now, when I was looking up, you know, because I like to kind of go a little bit of a monologue, you know, every time we do a little show and maybe kind of a little bit of my own opinion here and there, but also, too, what's going on in the FSH, you know, society. I mean, and kind of mix and mingle my own life with it. What I noticed was something, I don't know, I guess I didn't notice it before, because for me, I've had to now go to I have a new specialist I'm seeing because, you know, lo and behold, of course, your insurance has to change. So I find a new, you know, a neurologist, a specialist in FSH, and he knows about the disease, which is great. So I'm very, very happy that there's someone that's in my area that can guide me through it on the medical side of things. Then he sends me over to a cardiologist, make sure the heart and the ticker and all this stuff and healthy. And, of course, I'm told, well, you should probably lose a little weight. It'll probably help. Okay. You know, so I start looking for different supplements and different ways of health. And, you know, I did look on the FSH Society website. You know, that's at fshsociety.org, as, of course, we all know. And, you know, keep healthy habits. And it's in this great staying healthy tab out there. I don't know if you ever looked at this. There's some really basic things, but, you know, some other things that might come at you and kind of motivate you to go, oh, yeah, if I do those simple things, this might help my cause to be as mobile as possible, fight this thing as best as I can. Managing FSHD requires fast and foremost managing one's overall health, the FSH Society posts on here. Healthy habits, practices help manage and cope with FSHD, while poor ones, such as smoking, poor diet, not getting enough sleep, or high stress will make it harder. Man, that is true. You know, I'll tell you, because it feels like, you know, we all deal with stress. We all deal with these things. And I hope this show offers a little stress relief or a little place for you to go. Maybe you have other places. I hope you do, because we're only on here, you know, once a month. And but give you some stress relief. I find it very important. I think that's good for anybody, with this or without. Speak up and be persistent, one point says here in this FSH Society Stay Healthy tab. FSHD can affect things in ways that are not obvious or direct. For example, a doctor who lacks experience in muscular dystrophy may not be able to find the cause of a specific pain, or basic tests such as an x-ray will not offer any indications as to the pain source. A neurologist, orthopedist, or a physical therapist with experience in muscular dystrophy may have an educated hunch about the cause of pain and may be able to provide the appropriate relief measures. So there, to me, is another call of communication, I think, with each other, right? So if you know in your neck of the woods you have some good physical therapists, you have a good neurologist, orthopedist that you can maybe relate or refer to other people in your neck of the woods, if those are searching, reach out, let them know. Post that on those Facebook groups. Chat room in here today. Share those kind of things. I think has to be some networking. The other thing I wanted to touch on, too, with this whole stay healthy, is really the flu shot. I just heard the other day from a person that I know in my friendship circle, and her name is Sarah, and she talked about, hey, you know, there is the flu is kind of more active. Now, I live in Wisconsin up north here, so I don't know where it is by you guys, where you're from, but getting that flu shot. And lo and behold, under the Stay Healthy tab on the FSHSociety.org site, it says because of the muscle breakdown caused by FSHD, inactivity can be even more problematic for FSHD patients, for other people, to reduce the risk of flu and resulting in inactivity. Some FSHD patients take flu shots even though other young and middle-aged adults typically aren't encouraged to get the flu shot. I did not know that. Some surgeries can be done using either a general or local anesthetic. Some people with FSHD who can tolerate the pain explore with their surgeons the possibility of using a local to shorten the period of inactivity. Oh, I never thought of that either. I just had knee surgery. I guess maybe I should have suggested that. So I guess my point is, to this little monologue piece, is the fact that there is great resources, just basic resources if you have the time to visit fshsociety.org. This Stay Healthy has got some information, even though it sounds basic, and this is just a touch of what I've, you know, read off to you, is definitely healthy. It's definitely a healthy way, in a simple way, of helping yourself out the best you can. Another thing, you know, I had the call of arms to do the StoryCorps, right? And want your stories out there. Want you to email me, text me, contact me. Let's get something set up or send me your story so I can start building that library of some of these great stories and we can share them on air. And what I'm hoping is that we can have a whole show based off these stories that will have that many. But another call of arms is volunteers needed. If you are interested in doing some of the research out there, the research studies, there is a lot of those happening right now. Volunteer needed for the University of Minnesota study, for instance. I just sent an email out there. That's all on the FSHSociety.org site. This was posted September 17th, so just, 10 days ago, not even, about in Minnesota they are doing tests. They're trying to find what causes FSHD is not well understood. Researchers know that the DUX4 dysfunction causes symptoms of FSHD. However, they do not know how or why only certain muscles are affected. So that's some of their research. There's a lot of detail about what they're going to do and how you can help. There also is another study, number 2, out of that same University of Minnesota, the Cardiovascular Research and Rehabilitation Laboratory within the Program of Physical Therapy and Rehabilitation Science at the University of Minnesota is also conducting a research study to understand if the resting metabolic rate, metabolic rate of cardiovascular response to exercise are affected. So there's a lot going on there, and actually that one I kind of keyed in on because I think I feel like I get a little possible cardiovascular issues with my FSHD right now. I was swallowing, which is a pain in the butt, but I digress. So there's a lot out there for you at fshsociety.org to get involved, help you tips to stay healthy, and of course there's a lot of Facebook out there. So the theme of today is network. Network, get out there. Be vocal about what you have if you can, if you have the courage to do so, which is really going to be the theme of having our featured guest on, who's going to come up right after the break here, of Taylor Quigg. She's going to talk about her story, and we're going to talk with her and chat with her, and I hope you chat in as well. Use the chat room. Send us an email if you'd like, fshradiohost@gmail.com, if you've got questions for our featured guest. So why don't we take a quick break, and we come on the back end of that. We'll bring in our featured guest, Taylor. You're listening to the FSH Society Radio Show. You're listening to FSH Society Radio. Hey everyone, this is Tim, host of FSH Society Radio. And get this, in 2014, a Dutch team reported that aerobic exercise training and cognitive behavioral therapy decreased fatigue and improved the quality of life significantly for FSHD patients. This suggests a marked impact in slowing the degeneration of affected muscles. So I don't want to hear any excuses. You can get out there, get active, start exercising, and let's start fighting this thing. Hi, this is Tim again, and have you been recently diagnosed with FSHD and kind of trying to search for answers? I mean, there's so many questions. Where do you go? Well, go to fshsociety.org. Join the FSH Society. Get educated, because knowledge is power. Get active, connect with local members, volunteer for research, and donate, because without you, we can't fight this. Go to fshsociety.org. Hey, welcome back. FSH Society Radio coming at you here, the September episode, September 26, 2018, and have a great featured guest in store for you to share her story tonight. And you can share in the conversation if you want to use the chat room. You can find all that on the Blog Talk Radio site where you have found the show. So there's more to be found there. Use the chat room, chat in your questions if you'd like, or you can always email me. That's always a good idea. That's fshradiohost@gmail.com. And possibly we can even get your call in at 949-270-5953 during the interview or maybe right after, you know, and we can try to squeeze you in as well. But right now, without further ado, I'd love to bring in our featured guest who has a fantastic story to share to join our list of great guests we've had in the past, and she is tonight's guest. It is Taylor Quigg. Hello, Taylor. How are you?
Hi, Tim. I'm well. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing fantastic. I'm glad you're on. I know you and I chatted, right? We had a little phone conversation. It was months ago, if I recall. And I will definitely say the energy that you had about your story then was awesome. It got me jacked up. I'm not sure what I did right after the phone conversation, but I probably could have like lifted the car up. I mean, it was very empowering, and I thought we had a good connection, and I'm glad that we finally could get you on this show to kind of share some of that energy out there and share your story with people that I think is going to be very common in other people of what they've thought and how they felt when they were dealing with FSH. But before we get too far down that road, why don't you just take a moment and tell us a little bit about yourself?
So first of all, thank you so much for having me on. And I agree. When we spoke over the summer after I had listened to one of your shows, I felt so moved and I felt so empowered. And it just was, it just kind of seemed, you know, I had to reach out to you because of how I felt after listening. So that's kind of like my whole, I guess you could say, reason for sharing is because I want to be able to help other people who suffer, mm-hmm. not just with FSHD, but in other areas too. But I am Taylor Quigg. I'm from Philadelphia, about an hour outside of Philadelphia. I am married to my high school sweetheart, Colin, and we have two daughters. Kaden is 5 and Dylan is 3. We've been married for almost 9 years, eight years, getting ahead of myself. I have my background in education. I went to school with my undergrad in early childhood education and then went right back and got a master's in education with a reading specialist certification. So I have a really strong passion for teaching and educating others. So now I no longer do that. I am a network marketing professional with Young Living Essential Oils, and I get to educate and share my passion through, a healthier lifestyle, but I just get to do it a little differently. So I don't have to go out of my house, which with the FSHD is been a blessing. So I can work from my phone, I can work from my computer, and it's just been the biggest blessing in my life.
Yeah, so it sounds like you've had some turns in the road here as you've gone along. Especially it sounds like with the job and finding freedom within that work that you're able to supply. It sounds like a nice living for yourself with the freedom, which is, of course, and to me, that's like huge. So that's exciting. But even like, now, I found it very interesting that you said that you married your high school sweetheart, which is super cool. I like that.
Yeah.
That's very romantic. Two kids, right? You said 5 and 3 years old.
Yeah.
So where did FSH to, I guess, rear itself within that? Because obviously your husband's known you for a long time. You said you've been married about eight years. And but your high school sweetheart, so you must have been together, I'd imagine, a little longer than that. Not that I'm calling you old, Taylor. I just mean
It'll be 15 years this November, so it's been quite some time. My story is a little interesting. We didn't really find out I had it until officially I was diagnosed when I was 8 weeks pregnant with our second daughter. But prior to that, growing up, we knew that my grandfather had it. And my dad also has it. And my parents, had their reasons for not sharing with us, you know, throughout the course of our lives. And I totally respect their decision. And as a parent right now, you know, you do everything just, you know, for your children's best interest. So I actually found out that my dad had it when I was pregnant with my first daughter. So kind of knew throughout my life, like I had to do things a little bit differently, but it was nothing really major. Certain little things here and there. Like I played sports all through high school. I played softball up until I was pregnant with my first daughter. So then when my parents had told us that, you know, my dad has the disease, we just knew, and we had reasons for just holding off on getting tested right away. And then later on, when I did officially get tested, it came back that I did have FSHD. And I think for a while, I was in a bit of a denial. I, at the time, was a stay-at-home mom raising my oldest daughter, who was one, and had a new baby on the way. And I was just basically trying to stay afloat at the time. So I kind of just suppressed it and figured that, you know, if I just kept it to myself, maybe it wouldn't rear its ugly head. Maybe it would just stay the way it was. And that's just how I dealt with it at the time, not knowing any better. But then, you know, things started to progress after having the girls, and it was time to, you know, kind of face it head on.
With you saying that you kind of hit it and you thought, you know, suppressed, those are some of the key words that kind of came out to me as you were, not that I'm a psychologist or something, but those are some of the words that came out that then also makes me think, was that stressful for you? Do you think emotionally to have to, you're pushing it down in a way, you're ignoring it. It is what it is, you know, perhaps, but, you didn't, I guess, want to hit it head on immediately. So was that stressful? Was that a tough burden to carry?
It was a really heavy burden to carry, absolutely. And at the time in my life, the situations that I had going on, I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. There's no coincidences in life. And I had to walk through what I had to go through in order to where I am today. And looking back, I hit it. I don't know if I was ashamed. I don't know if I was embarrassed. I'm not really sure. There was a lot, and, you know, I'm sure you can relate, a lot of emotions that come along with a diagnosis. I was only, you know, I was 30-something, 31 years old. So, you know, this is like a big, you know, slap in the face. Your world kind of gets turned upside down and inside out. And I wasn't really ready to let that happen. And I thought at the time that it was defining who I was. But I didn't have the tools in my toolbox to deal with it until, you know, the past couple of years when I decided that enough was enough and no one gets to tell me, you know, no diagnosis defines who I am and I get to choose that. So I've done a lot of work on myself through the past couple of years, personal growth. And, you know, I was ready to share, you know, it took me some time. And, you know, I slowly opened up to people here and there, you know, my family, you know, some of my family knew, and then some close friends. And then last summer is when I had enough and I realized that the only person I was hurting and doing a disservice to by keeping it, was myself. And it was time to share. And that's when I took the leap.
Yeah, it's yeah, because I think, you know, we have the same disease, of course, and that's something that you and I share. We have the same thing along with so many other people that have this and have to deal with it, and in different ways it affects us all a little different. Some maybe more the same than others, which I find fascinating. And I also find it fascinating how everyone seems to deal with it in their own unique way. You know, some come out guns blazing, saying this is it, this is what I have, which is kind of more my style in a way. And then you had to have some time to kind of absorb it. And that's really where I saw was the real big purpose to share your story, because I think there are some people that even maybe are still, you know, not really quite ready to say things and talk about it to family or to friends. And maybe if they hear your story, they'll hear some strength there. And it's not that I think that they're not strong to say it. I really firmly believe in what you said, is that things happen for a reason. And if it's not your time yet, you're not comfortable yet to share this thing with somebody or the world, because it's not a fun thing to share. I know that when I first blurted out words, I think I can probably say to my mother was probably, well, my wife was very difficult, but my mother, it was equally difficult because you know, this is somebody that knew me for so long. And how did she, and I got the sense that she thought, how did I not see this? You know, it came as an utter surprise. So for you guys, you had a little bit of that family history, you know. So when you didn't, so here comes the question. I know, like, Tim, where's the question? So my question for you is then, your family then, they must have known, right, before you were officially diagnosed, or no?
In regards to me having it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, did they have their own instincts to kind of think?
Yeah, they definitely did. Looking, you know, having conversations with my parents, they said that, you know, they could see the way that I do things, you know, was doing things was a little bit different. And they, you know, in the back of their mind thought that, yeah, maybe I have two sisters. So, you know, maybe one of, you know, out of the three of them, you know, we think that, you know, Taylor could be affected with it. And I know, I'm sure, you know, as a mother now, two of my own, you know, I watched my kids like crazy, you know, and I look for things. So I know that, you know, my parents look for things too, but again, like, you do the best you can, you know, as a parent, and you make decisions based on your kids. And, you know, the way that they chose to do it was perfect. And it just, it led me to where I'm at right now. And I don't regret anything. I have no regrets. And I just, you know, I'm happy to now be free from that burden that I was carrying and help other people.
Yeah, and I think that it's important that everybody understands that you have to do this kind of thing, the coming out, so to speak, of, I think, at your own pace. You know, you have to do it when you're
Absolutely.
Ready, when you're comfortable. Because I think you got to kind of face it yourself first a little bit.
That was huge for me. Facing it myself, because I'm also, like, the family history is there, but I'm also the first female in my family to have it. Mm-hmm. So it obviously affects me much differently. And then again, having two kids in 2 years, you know, that's, no one else in my family has had that. And like you said, FSHD affects everyone in a different way. So, you know, you can talk to someone same age, same diagnosis, and you could be complete opposite ends of the spectrum with it. So I think that was a little bit, I needed to understand that, you know, my journey was unique to me, and, you know, I needed to make it work for me first before I could, you know, share my story and try to help anybody else. I needed to be okay first.
Now, I don't know if you're, I'm kind of imagining what maybe it was like when you're in the doctor's office, at least that's what it was like for me, right? And the first guy blurts out, I think we have a muscular dystrophy here to me. And I think I spun around so quick, you know, I almost fell over. I'm like, what? Yeah. And you kind of have to deal with that shock of those words kind of coming together and then realizing he's talking to you, not to somebody else. So one of my first specialists though I saw said to me, well, it's not life-threatening, but it's life-shortening. Did you ever get some type of verbiage like that from one of your doctors when explaining this diagnosis?
Not quite like that. So that was a huge part in the beginning. I joined some groups and I you know, started reading all of the things. And I found myself digging myself into a rabbit hole of the what ifs. And mm-hmm. I found that my mind started to wander and into places where I necessarily didn't want it to go. Because again, like, everyone is affected differently. And I knew that I wasn't going to let this define me. And I knew that my mindset was going to play a huge part in dealing with this every single day of my life. So I said to myself last year, I said, I'm not going to subject myself to anyone or anything that's going to make me bring me down almost, because I choose to look at it in a through a different set of eyes, I guess you can say now. And I really have been focusing on the positives and the things that I still can do, because there's so many things that I can do. I found that if I started focusing on the things that I can no longer do, then that's when I start to almost go into a decline again. And for me, that's not a place I could be at. So I now, when I hear those things, sometimes I will just like kindly say to the person and just kind of redirect where they're going with it. So I, mm-hmm. for me, because it really does, it makes a huge difference in the way I feel and the way I speak about it. And I think that if everyone could speak about it that way, then we might start to feel a little differently.
Yeah, because when that doctor said that to me, you know, I kind of blew it off because I wasn't really in my mm-hmm. own head about it. But a part of me mm-hmm. said, I think I should be offended. a part
yeah.
of me said, I think you should be, you know, angry here. That doesn't sound kind. And later when I kind of digested the words, I'm like, wait a minute, what the hell's the difference between life-threatening and life-shortening? Isn't that kind of in the
right.
same neighborhood? You know, and I still kind of get that vibe, you know, especially from some physicians, especially those that don't know mm-hmm. it, or they mistaken it for MS or something else, which is slightly frustrating. But at the same time, I have to quickly think, this is a teaching moment. I get to mm-hmm. maybe educate this person that might not be aware of it. Have you ever had that where you've said what you've had to somebody, either be a group of people or, you know, friends or something, and then you end up becoming an educator on the disease? Has that situation arise in your coming out with this?
Yeah, it has. And actually, that's the part that I'm still really working on right now. And I had a conversation about this last week with some friends, because sometimes it is hard for me to, vocalize certain things when, you know, cause there's certain symptoms, like, you know, with the pushing out of the stomach. So your stomach may appear for women,
right.
That you might be pregnant. So oftentimes people will mistake that, and, you know, that can be hurtful. And honestly, like, now I need to know, now I need to be, you know, straightforward and use those moments as teaching moments. It's the same thing as, like, you know, if not being able to use the stairs or something, you know, needing an elevator or something like that. I've found that I have become stronger and more confident with opening up and saying, hey, like, this is why, because I have this. And then like you said, I now I'm opening up and using them as teachable moments, because that's the only way we're going to bring awareness. And, you know, that's what we need in order to find a treatment and a cure for this, is awareness. So I absolutely use those moments as teachable moments now.
Yeah, that's got to be kind of awful if someone, because of the shape of your body and this and that, because everybody, you know, what it does to you. I always get all the mm-hmm. time, you know, and from a certain family member, I'm not going to mention them, they might be listening, but that they will tell me, and I know they're trying to be nice.
Yeah.
It's coming from a good place. But for me, the FSH is affecting my chest area. And you can see, like, a very pronounced, like, my collarbone muscles and whatnot, or not muscles, hello, bones, you know, showing, you know, my structure. But it makes me look like I'm lost some weight. And
yeah.
he'll say, you know, hey, have you lost some weight? And I just look right at him. And this has happened a couple times. I go, no, I just have FSH. It's like, and it's not a great weight loss plan. I do not recommend it, you know. It's like, you know, it's I know people are trying to say, hey, you look pretty good for what you're dealing with, or but it's, you're right. It's like those awkward comments where, like, you're not sure where they're coming from. And so for me, I get kind of defensive right away. And then I have to realize, no, I got to turn this around and be a teacher the best I can. Do you find yourself getting defensive right away?
Yeah, I think it's in our nature, you know, sometimes when, because we are suffering with something, to sometimes be defensive. And then the biggest thing that I've learned is to take a step back and to breathe first and you know, if you have to count for a few seconds. And like you said, I truly think people sometimes just don't know what to say and they feel like they need to say something. So they just say anything, even, and you know, it's coming from a place of where they're just trying to maybe make you feel better and thinking that, you know, weight loss might be something that you were, you know, hoping to achieve. When in reality, it might be that you're trying to, you know, increase your muscles and your chest. Right. So I think, you know, people sometimes just get uncomfortable and they feel like they need to say something. And all they really have to say is like, hey, how are you doing? You know, that would just be so much more well received, I think. But again, you know, people don't know what they don't know, which is why this is so important that we need to share. And that's why for me, it was, you know, I find so much power in using social media as a platform to share about FSHD, to bring awareness to it, because you never know who's going to be listening or, you know, who might have something to offer. And, you know, it just takes one person and our lives could change forever.
Now, it's great that you just did a segue there. You probably didn't even realize it. So you're great at this. You just gave me a segue to the next question. And that was when you talked about social media, and you talked on Facebook. That's what you said in June 20th, 2017. You posted this incredible, you know, coming out on Facebook, empowering, this is what I have, this is what's happening. And FSH Society posted that, I believe, on their newsletter, on their website, et cetera. Did you know that they were going to do that when they did it?
So when I posted it last summer, someone had reached out to me shortly after I did the post on my Facebook, and this was a year ago, and mentioned the post was great. Could they use it? And I said, absolutely. And then nothing ever happened. And that's totally fine because things come up and people, you know, get busy with their job. I get it. So then this past May, like just a few months ago, I was in Target and I was picking up a few things before my girls got home from school. And I got a text message from my dad and said, hey, hon, did you see this month's issue of the FSH newsletter? And I immediately stopped in my tracks thinking, oh, my gosh. What did they find? Is there a breakthrough? You know, I just wasn't expecting, you know, that's the first thing I went to. And then all of a sudden a picture came through and it was my face and it was the Facebook post. And I stopped in my tracks in Target and I got emotional and I just told myself I wasn't going to cry. It was just a really moving moment because sorry, one second.
Take your
time. Longest time I suffered alone with this for so many years and in silence. And you know, my family knew, my husband knew, but I never wanted to accept, you know, the help right away or for whatever reason, and suffering so long and keeping it in, and then that day sharing it out publicly and the support that I got from it, and then to see it in the newsletter and just to see that my voice was heard and that I no longer have to suffer alone and that I have the support from so many people. And not only that, but the messages that I received after that and still to this day saying that that post helped somebody in their life, like those moments, it will forever be worth it, you know, just from hearing other people have come out of their silence and come out of their suffering and, you know, are starting to find peace within themselves. Because if you can't find peace within yourself, you're never going to find it through anything else. So that was just, it was just one of the most moving days of my life, aside from my wedding and my children being born. But it was probably one of the biggest moments in my life. And I am just forever grateful that you know, they saw value and they saw, you know, my words as being important enough to share.
Yeah, that was, I can imagine that, that feeling. 'Cause you're right. It's probably a huge relief. It's like overwhelming. I mean, that's just, a great
yeah.
way to put it. And it's cool that you shop at Target. I love Target.
Target,
you know,
Target
it's,
for
everything. It is. So, yeah, I mean, I totally know what you mean. Like, you're going along your daily life, and then something kind of knocks you down, but not bad. It doesn't sound like it was mm-hmm. it was a bad moving moment. It sounded like it was, like, a big
no.
exhale.
It was a huge – I just remember I stood there, and people were looking at me like I was – all sorts of crazy because I'm crying in the children's section holding a shirt. Like the shirt is really cute, but like, this is really important. And I just went and I checked out really fast and I went into my car and I just had so much gratitude and just felt, it was overwhelming sense of, it was relief. It really was. I think I felt so much lighter the day I originally shared on Facebook. And then again, it just brought back all those feelings, all over again, and it was just a really great day, and it was powerful.
So then with that, do you think it's been more difficult for you dealing with FSH on an emotional level or the physical side?
It's probably a little bit of both. The physical stuff is a little challenging. You know, again, I have little kids. So I kind of just – I've been learning to listen to my body more and to rest when I need to rest, and to learn that it's not a sign of weakness, that it's actually a sign of strength, knowing when you need to take a break. And that goes for anybody with anything in life, you know, FSHD or not. So the physical is, it is. It's a struggle. But we are making accommodations in our lives and to make things a little easier for me. And, you know, that's just if that's what we have to do, then that's what we have to do. There are far worse things in life than having to buy a house. That's one level. You just have to make it, you have to make it work. These are the cards that we've been dealt. And for so long, I sat in, like I said, in silence with it and in almost like a pool of self-pity until I realized that that's not getting me anywhere. And I am young and I have a life to live and I want to enjoy life. And there's so much that I want to do and that I can do. And then by sharing, now people know, and now I don't have to make an excuse as to why I can't take the stairs and that, you know, why I have to, you know, go for the elevator or the escalator or things of that nature. I don't have to, you know, constantly be on the edge of my seat. Why is this person, you know, what am I going to do? There's nothing, there's stairs there, or there's, you know, I can't go do that. I can't run. No, I can't do this with you. Like things like that. Like, you know, now that it's out in the open, I don't have to hide. And people are so helpful. And so, you know, they just make you, you know, they just make you feel like you're just one of them and you don't have anything, you know, there's nothing different about you. They see you for who you are mm-hmm. and not, you know, not what you were diagnosed with, which is really, it's been a blessing.
Now, it sounds like, too, and I wanted to definitely touch on this part of your life, is the work you're doing. I know that you mentioned, I'll refer back to that post, that you use products to support your body, took away some of the pain that you had been living with for years. And that sounded like, you know, you said that you were working with Young Living Essential Oils. Can you talk a little bit about the work you're doing and how it blends together with, you know, coping or helping you with FSH?
Absolutely. So I, when I first started using, I wanted to look into more natural products because, like I said, I was living in pain and I kind of started to look at getting to the root of the pain versus treating the symptom. So I started to do a ton of research, which led me to essential oils. And then we really started focusing on ridding the toxins in our life and getting out the chemical products that were in our house because they are hormone disruptors. They are affecting different areas of your body. And once I started doing the research, there was no going back because I saw a direct impact on how it was affecting us and how it was affecting me. So I joined Young Living because I needed some essential oils to help with the pain in my shoulder, and because I wanted to sleep and I wanted my little kids to sleep and I wanted us to stay healthy. So we just started using these healthy natural products, essential oils. They're the lifeblood of plants. So, you know, we kind of just started to transform our products in our house over to there. And then I found out that there was a business side, and I had no interest in doing anything business related with network marketing, because I had a bad taste in my mouth from it, as most people do. And that's okay, because I'm here to tell you that it's the greatest thing in the world, and I'm so proud to be a network marketing professional. So I started the business side, and you know, at first it was an outlet for me. So many things were being removed from my life that I could no longer do due to the SSHD, that I needed something to focus my time on. And this just kind of showed up at, you know, the right time. Again, there was no coincidences on this at all. And, you know, at the time, my husband and I were struggling extremely hard, living not even paycheck to paycheck. And I was going to need to go outside of the house and get a job. And I said, I am going to find something to do from home. I promise. I just want to be home, and I want to raise my babies at home. So in pops Young Living, the business opportunity, loved the product. So it just seemed like a perfect fit. And we've been doing it for 2.5 years, and we are currently diamond leaders with the company. We're 9 months into this year, and we are over $5 million in sales for our team.
Wow.
We have almost 11,000 families underneath of us that have just are transforming their lives too. And it's, you know, it's not just, I mean, the products are amazing. There's supplements, there's antioxidant drinks. There is just so many things to support your body naturally. And it really is. It's changed my life in every sense of the word. And I don't mean that lightly. And it also gave me an outlet to use my voice and to educate other people, which, like I said earlier, I have background in education, is my passion. So I teach classes from my house on the computer. I can run my business from my phone. And it's truly connected me with some of the greatest people that I have ever known, and people that are willing to, you know, help you no matter what. People that you've never even met before, you just know them through the computer and over the internet, and they're like family. So it's truly been life-changing.
If people want to get involved with the products you're talking about, how can they do that? How can they contact you to have them help themselves and help and have these products help their life as it's helped yours?
They just send me a message on Facebook. We have amazing groups that we plug people into where they get the support. So they know exactly how to use these products. That was like huge for me, because I was, I actually bought the kit. My husband bought it for me a month before we originally started, and I returned it because I was like, nope, too overwhelmed. I have no idea what I'm doing. And then a month later, it popped up again. But the next time that it popped up, there was education involved, and that's so important to me. So they can just contact me on Facebook. I am more than happy to get them into our groups. We run classes a few times a month, so there's always education going on, and to learn all the different products and just how they can literally have changed my life. And the lie, I mean, 11,000 people underneath of us.
Yeah. Wow. That's a lot of lives. A lot of families that you're helping. How many hours do you put in on that job of you know, network marketing with Young Living?
It depends. I mean, you can put in as many or as little hours as you want. And that's the beauty of it. For me, when I first started, I knew that I wanted this to work, right? I wanted to make this our life. So I put in a lot of time. But what comes with putting in that time is freedom. There's financial freedom. There's time freedom. You can't put a price on time freedom, you know, spending more time with your family, being there for your kids, being there for your spouse, traveling together. There's just so many things that you can, you know, that network marketing provides. Residual income, like this income is now willable to my children. And that for me as a mother, you know, the future for me is so, you know, tomorrow is, I mean, it is for everyone, but more so with this disability, like it's unknown. I don't know what the future is going to bring. Right. So just to know that we are okay now and we don't have to worry. And I, to take that burden off of my husband, it's pretty amazing. So, yeah, I mean, anyone can contact me. I'm more than happy to help, just to share, you know, if you want to talk about it, I can give you a little more information, but I can't say enough good things about it.
Because the reason why I kind of, you know, asked about that even specifically with ours, because I've seen and heard people on Facebook and a lot of these support groups for FSH, that has been, I don't want to say an extremely common question, but it's definitely come up multiple times where I've seen people ask what do you do for a living? Is there a good work from home, a job out there? And to me, what you're doing, it's beneficial because like you said, you're able to be home with your kids. You're able to be, have the time freedom. And to me, that has more value than the money side of it is the freedom
than anything.
To be able to use your life the way you want. Yeah.
You're literally creating a life that you design. I mean, it's you can do whatever, and that's the beauty of network marketing. Like, you can do whatever you want. If you want to go travel, you can do it. If you want to just stay home, you can do it. I mean, it literally, you create the life you want to live. And I don't know about you, but like, I was stuck in that. You got a job after you go to college, you get a job, you work that job tirelessly until you can retire when you're 70, if you're lucky, and then you start your life. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm 30. I think I'm 32 or 33. I don't really know how old I am right now. I stopped counting. But I don't know about you. I want to live my life right now. I want to enjoy my kids when they're young. And, you know, this is the time that I want to do these things, and I want to help people do it, and I want to bring people along, because it's so much more fun when you can do it with people. When you see other people changing their lives, I can tell you right now, it's so much better than – anything you can imagine. So I get emotional now, when I talk about it, because
amazing. Because it's obviously, it's more than a job. It's more than just a source of income. This is something that is supplying health, nutrition, a future for your family. And that's what everybody wants. And I'm not trying to be an infomercial plug here, but the point is that when people find something that is tapped into those parts of their life and help them, you will get emotional, of course, and we're feeding off that emotion. And I think that that's part of the message why I wanted you on here too, Taylor, is that, you know, you've talked to me about Young Living before, back and forth on Facebook Messenger, and I was inquiring even a little bit about it, because there is that need, I think, especially those of us that have this disease, of exactly what you said. I don't want to wait till I'm retired. I have no idea what my body is going to be like then. There's no guarantee. And I know no one has a guarantee. But for whatever reason that you want to, or word you want to label with it, once you're diagnosed with something like this, it's a little more of a matter of fact thing. I mean, I know a cure could very well come soon. FSH Society is right around the corner doing that for us. There's no doubt. And then hopefully right behind that is a treatment for reversal of what this disease has done to so many people. That is also just as key, as Mark Stone has said in the past, you know, on FSH Society. So it's kind of a two-piece thing. But in the meanwhile, you know, we have to live with what we have. And, you know, you don't want to be pessimistic. You want to be negative. But we have to plan accordingly. And if that means living now, and leaving that 40-hour week grind a job that takes you away from the things you love, and if this is a possible option for someone listening, then go for it. You know, and
absolutely.
And
you have to.
That's a lot of things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to go after what you want. You have to live in the now, right? I mean, everyone does, but especially, you know, when you have something like this. But for everyone and for anyone, it's just. It is such a better option. And for me, like, I, you know, no matter what struggles are thrown in my face or thrown, everyone has problems. For me, I wanted to show my daughters and that they can literally do anything that they put their mind to, no matter what curveballs life throws at you, because there's going to be a lot and some are going to be bigger than others. But for me, it's so important that they see me working and that they see my triumphs, and that they also see my struggles, because they have to know that it's, that you can overcome struggles, and you can overcome people, you know, making remarks at your job or making, you know, comments about anything that you, people are going to judge you no matter what. So
right.
just go out and live your life and do what makes you happy, because at the end of the day, like you need to be content with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, thank you, Taylor, for joining us tonight. You delivered as I knew you would, an inspirational story that I know is moving people. Those that want to share this episode, it'll be available right away for on-demand sharing. So please do that. Not just listen to this live show. Spread it out. Spread the word. Share her story. So thanks, Taylor, for joining us tonight. And, you know, in the future, we'll definitely have you on again and see where you're at and see how Young Living is going. And we'll just keep checking in with you.
Awesome. I'm really excited, too. They're starting a Philadelphia chapter, the FSH Society. So I'll be attending that this Saturday. So, you know, continuing
awesome.
To. Yeah, so I'm really excited about that. So something finally coming to our area. So it's all good stuff. So I really appreciate you having me on tonight, Tim.
Absolutely. Yeah. But yeah. Before I let you go, you're right. It's the Greater Philadelphia Chapter launch September 29th. I don't know how to pronounce that. That Valley Public Library. thank you. At the community room and Bluebell, Pennsylvania, Saturday, September 29th, 10:30 a.m. it starts. So everybody that's in that area and in distance, get there or be square. That's awesome. You get to meet a new celebrity of the FSH Society. Taylor will be there.
Oh, goodness.
Thanks again, Taylor. You have a great night, and we'll see you in the future.
Thanks, Tim. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So that is our inspirational Taylor Quigg, and that is the person that I talked to, I guess, it was last summer, and it was awesome conversation. And she has sounds like a great support group with a loving husband, loving kids, and a family that's all around her. And now our society, our group has got her back and learned more about her as well. So why don't we take our last quick break here, and we come back, we'll go over a little bit of what's going on, not just the new Philadelphia chapter launch, but other things going on in the FSH world. You're listening to the FSH Society Radio Show.
FSHD is one of the most common forms of muscular dystrophy. It's a degenerative disease that weakens muscles in the face, shoulders, upper back, and legs. FSHD robs you of your smile and makes simple tasks nearly impossible to perform. FSHD affects hundreds of thousands of people, but most have never met another patient. Many have not even been diagnosed. Someone you know may be living with FSHD. Let them know they are not alone and that we're making real advances toward a treatment. You can help by going to our website, fshsociety.org/cureFSHD, and share the photos and facts about the disease using the hashtag CureFSHD. By simply raising awareness, you could change someone's life and help us get closer to a cure.
FSH Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here. September 26th episode here, 2018. We had a great guest on, Taylor Quigg. If you missed it, tuning in a little late, don't worry. You can find the show right when this ends on demand on Blog Talk Radio, all linked through fshsociety.org. So you can also share the episode with those out there in your life, in your network, and spread the word about this radio show and get more people involved. We had some great listeners in on the talk on the chat room. And if you have any follow-up questions, though, you can still reach out to me, fshradiohost@gmail.com. We'll go over a little bit of news and notes here, what's going on in FSH society. On the docket, as Taylor mentioned, after a great interview. She was smartly plugging in the Greater Philadelphia chapter launch, as we mentioned, on September 29th, 10:30 a.m., the Wishahickon Valley Public Library Community Room. I think I got that right. September 30th is the Mid-Atlantic FSHD Family Day Conference in Charles Commons, Salons B and C in Baltimore, Maryland. That's Sunday, September 30th, 12 to 6. FSH Connecticut Connections is meeting Thursday, October 4th. I believe that's virtually, 7 p.m., and that's East time. FSHD MN Gathering, October 6th, in Lake Nokomis Community Center, Multipurpose Room in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Saturday, October 6th, 1:30 p.m. to 4. October 7th, the 2018 North Carolina Walk and Roll to Cure FSHD at the Fred G. Bond Metro Park in Cary, North Carolina. That's Sunday, October 7th, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. On October 13th, the Colorado Chapter Launch and Member Meeting at the Colbel Library, the Living Room, is air quotes there for you, in Sentinel, Colorado, Saturday, October 13th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On October 14th, the Atlanta Chapter launches the Team Building with Taste, Atlanta, Georgia, Sunday, October 14th, 1 p.m. to 4, they are meeting. And FSHD Lunch in Tucson is meeting at the Brother John's Barbecue. That sounds good. In Tucson, Arizona. That's Saturday, October 20th, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. We'll go all the way out here in a little bit more in October. On this one, the 21st, Los Angeles Ghostly Gala to Vanish FSHD is happening. And the Sigata Club in Los Angeles, California, Sunday, October 21st. 5 p.m. that starts and goes into the night to 9 p.m. Maybe they go later. Who knows? Sounds like a good party. Our FSH Society radio show is going to air. The next one will be October 31st, I believe, if we do the calendar properly. The last Wednesday of every month, we air a show. And stay tuned as we're working on a featured guest for that one. Featured guest tonight was Taylor Quigg. She was fantastic, as I knew she would be, as I had previous talk with her. And I knew that her energy would ring loud and clear, and her emotion and her story, I hope, moved you as well as it did myself as well. And if you want to spread more of that, of this episode, go to fshsociety.org, find the link for this show, and all the past episodes are there for you to listen. If you want to get a hold of me for the story corps, don't forget, fshradiohost@gmail.com, and you can get my direct number here. That's 414-659-3392. You can send me messages, and we can gather for that. Till next month, take care. Be blessed. Bye-bye. You've been listening to the FSH Society Radio Show.